May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 905. My heart by nature is a stone, and unconcerned can look upon eternal misery. Feels no affection for the Lord, takes no impression from his word, but lumpish is and dry. Hymn 905.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the first book of Samuel and chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The first book of Samuel. Chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of these servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, thou who art the same yesterday and today and forever, do grant unto us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and that we might be given faith to believe that thou art. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We do seek then that we might be given faith, we might be given that diligence in seeking after thee, and that thou hast grant us the petitions that we ask of thee. We would come in the attitude of worship. We do worship thee as the King of kings and Lord of lords, thou who art the giver of life and the maintainer of life. For in thee we live and move and have our being. And Lord, we do seek to put that crown upon thy head and to know that all things are by thy hand. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? O Lord, thou who art the great appointer of men, appointing kings, appointing pastors, appointing rulers, appointing those that are to be over us under thee. Lord, thou hast appointed our parentage, our nation, our time, our parents, all things thou hast appointed. O Lord, be pleased to grant unto us that submission unto thy holy will. And Lord, when it is our place to be in the place of Samuel, that we must be the one that doth put into action thy appointments, to grant, Lord, that we might be humbled and that we might be able to do such things in the fear of God. Lord, we do pray that thou hast grant us that wisdom which is from above, that we might know, Lord, those things which are true, and that thou hast blessed us in our souls with a knowledge of thy salvation. Lord, however much we might know of thy holy word, of the things of God, to grant that it might not be just a knowledge in the head, but that it might be taught by grace, and that we might know and have the faith of thine elect. O Lord, do grant us a true profession of faith, that we might with the heart believe and with the mouth confess our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, again we bring before thee the congregation and church here. Our dear brethren, the deacons, we seek thy blessing upon them. And do be pleased to bless each of the congregation, those here and those away on holiday. We pray for those that at home with children this evening and that listen online, and those who may be visiting here in the chapel. We ask thy blessing upon them and those visiting online as well. Lord, as we gather this evening, may it be truly felt that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we see no man but Jesus only, and that thou dost grant unto us that sense of thy presence, Jesus, in the midst. We see thy blessing upon that already attended to this day, the ministry in this church, the ministry in the surrounding churches. We ask thy blessing upon all attended to, and thy servants that may this evening be labouring for a third time, or those wearied with their labours already, to refresh, strengthen, and to help them and bless that which has been sent forth. We seek, Lord, thy blessing upon thy dear servant Brian Izzard, be with his dear one with us this evening, to help thy dear servant in his infirmities and afflictions, and to bless thy word through him. We thank thee for the encouragements that thou hast given them at Van Stanton, and we see thy blessing upon them there as a cause of truth. O Lord, be pleased to remember our own people at home, thy servant that ministers there at Cranbrook today, this evening, to grant thy blessing in each assembly of thy people. O Lord, we pray for those round about us here in Swavesey. Do bless the Bibles that are taken, that are given out from here, and may they yet see those come in and testify that thou hast blessed the word, and that they have been brought to a desire to come and worship here through that means. O Lord, do grant a real spiritual revival in this land. Pour out thy spirit. Begin with us each personally and in our churches. Do bless us with a real spiritual revival. We pray that thou remember us in the churches that lack the offices that thou hast promised and appointed for the church. Those as here without a pastor, do bless them with a pastor after thine own heart. Those of us who have a pastor but no deacon, do grant us to have a deacon that is according to thy word, that may be good and a real help to the church of God. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast blessed our churches with being strengthened with active praying members, not just those coming and going to the services, but each that take an active role in some aspect of the church witness and where they are called to serve. O Lord, we do seek that thou would be pleased to Remember those exercised and burdened in their souls. We know that thy work begins with a seed. And Lord, do remember those that it is springing up. We do pray that there might be a sealing of thy work where it is begun, whether by grace or to an office or to a role in the church of God. Lord, remember all that are burdened and exercised and prayerful over these things. We do pray for each of thy servants, Lord, and as we minister here today, we think of those engaged to minister here during the week and next Lord's Day, and we ask thy blessing upon those of thy dear servants. We do see, Lord, that thou hast granted us thy word graciously this evening. Help one in preaching and help each in hearing. Bless, Lord, thy word to the honour and glory of thy name. Bless us with the sweet savour of Christ. Do hunger, cause that we might hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that our desires might be right. Thou hast said, delight in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. O save us from wrong prayers. Grant us right desires and right prayers. Do grant, Lord, that we might be revived and strengthened and not lose our first love and go back from following after thee. Remember any here who feel to have backslidden. They're not what they once were. The love is not as warm. The appetite for the word is not what it once was. Prayer has become a task. And hearing times, the times when there is a sweet savour and blessing are few and far between. O Lord, do be pleased to revive again and strengthen us again. Lord, remember the world has such a pull, is all around us. We see, we hear, we observe, we have a wicked, deceitful, evil heart. We have what we have sung and proved it many times. And O Lord, do be pleased to bless the means of grace this evening, that we might be strengthened in the Lord, the faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we might have our strength made stronger, and where we are weak, made strong through thy word. Do remember what thou didst say to Peter, when thou art converted, when thou art restored, strengthen thy brethren. And Lord, thy charge to him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do grant that thy sheep and thy lambs might be fed this evening. We do seek a true spirit of confession of our sins daily and hourly, not just lip, but from our hearts. Make us truly mourners over our sins and after thee. And where we are in any snare, in any error, in any besetting sin, do loose us, set us free, grant us a deliverance. Where we grieve, thy Holy Spirit, show us where. And, O Lord, show us the way of escape and way that we do not grieve thy Spirit. We do seek, O Lord, that thou hast be the director and guider of thy people. Lord, we think of the Apostle Paul, one of the very first effects of thy grace upon him was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Remember any here that is their prayer tonight. Thou knowest in what matter it is. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, as thou hast put that prayer and that desire and cry in the heart, be pleased to answer it, show the way, tell them what they are to do. Now, O Lord, we wait upon thy aid, thy spirit, thy blessing, and we give thee thanks for every temporal blessing and for every blessing in thy word. Thou art a good and gracious and long-suffering God, Be pleased to come to the afflicted, the bereaved, the lonely, the sorrowful. Help each one in their individual path. Bless the children and call them by thy grace while they are young in years. And help them, Lord, this evening to listen and help us to speak as to the lambs, that they also might understand what is spoken. We ask then these mercies as we commit another week unto thee and thank thee that the first day of the week is the day that thou didst rise from the dead and appear unto thy disciples. O Lord, we commit the week to thee. May we go through it leaning upon thee. May we go through it with guidance given today and help and expectation that thou wilt appear for us. We ask thee these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 56. Let every open ear attend, and broken heart rejoice. The trumpet of the gospel sounds with an inviting voice. Hymn number 56.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayer for attention to 1 Samuel chapter 16, reading for our text verse 12, the last part. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." The whole verse reads, "And he sent," that is, Jesse sent for David and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Samuel here had been tasked with anointing the next king of Israel. The chapter begins with this task that he had to do. You know, sometimes we might be like Samuel, coming into an office, a position in the church as a deacon or as a minister, a pastor, or it may be in our workplace as well. And for a while, we think, well, this is what is involved in the position that we hold. And then something comes along that we never thought that we personally would have to do. I don't think that Samuel ever thought that he was going to be called to bring Saul, King Saul, the first king, to be a king. And now here he was having to do it again, the first king to be rejected from his hand. And yet he had to do this. In one sense, what a lonely path. Might have looked round, what if, couldn't I have one of the brethren, couldn't I have someone else to go with me? No, Samuel, you are the prophet, it falls to your lot, you must attend to that. How many of you have had things like that, either in the church of God or business, and you've shrunk from it? You think, I wish someone else could do this. Now you think of Samuel in this. Samuel was put into this position. You think of Queen Esther. When she came to be queen, did she ever think that she was going to be in a position where she had to venture and go unto the king to speak for her people? No. And when it came to the fact, when Haman had done what he had done, then Queen Esther shrinks back. But Mordecai says that who knoweth that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If thou holdest thy peace, then deliverance shall arise from another quarter. She must. What a difficult thing she had. If the king didn't hold out the golden scepter, she would be killed. And she had to venture. And you might feel the same thing. How can I? How can I venture? How can I proceed in this thing? Why has it fallen to me? But Samuel was put in his position. Queen Esther was put in her position. And I trust if you are in that position, you have been put in that position for what is before you. Now Samuel has an objection. In verse 2 we read, Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." Very real fear. The Lord had already said that he had rejected Saul. If Saul knew that Samuel was going to anoint another king, well, he would have killed Samuel, like he said, killed David as well, whoever was anointed. But the Lord then gives a very interesting thing. He gives him another reason why he is going, and it is a useful reason as well. It's not just an excuse unrelated. He says to him, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. So as far as Saul was concerned, as far as others were concerned at asking, he was going to offer a sacrifice. Now, this is one of those cases where what he said and what he was doing was true. We had a conference yesterday, what is truth? What was the truth about this? Well, what was true, he was going to offer a heifer, he was going for sacrifice. But that wasn't the truth of what he was doing. That wasn't the whole reason. That wasn't the real reason why he was going. But it was a valid, good, righteous, honorable reason that he was doing. He wasn't doing what some people will do, sin and wrong things, and have a way that they deceive either their parents or the church or whoever by going behind a smoke screen. This is what I'm doing, when actually they're doing something else as well and deliberately deceiving with an evil intent. This is not what God is doing with Samuel. He is giving him a truthful, valid reason that actually is a stepping stone to what he is doing, but in one sense it is meaning that Saul doesn't discern what is really going on. I remember this. This is showing one of the ways the Lord deals with men. We may have things in our life that the Lord has brought us into. Could be troubles, could be things, steps, jobs that we take that we may not have for long, but a stepping stone for something else. May we always remember that. That very often the Lord has behind one truth and one leading and one action, another deeper purpose. In one way, right through the scriptures, we have the deep that coucheth beneath. We have Israel as a typical Israel, a people. But what's the deep underneath? Paul says, they, that is Israel, drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. There was that which came underneath. All of the parables. The Lord told why he spoke in parables, that hearing, they would not hear. Seeing, they would not see. They went away with this natural story and account, thinking that was all there was to it, nothing else. But the disciples knew there was something else. And so they asked the Lord, interpret to us this parable. In all the Lord's dealings, may we always think what the Lord has in view is some grand, greater, eternal purposes. In this, just to offer a sacrifice? No. To anoint the next king of Israel, to anoint him who was to be King David, whose son Solomon goes right through to Joseph, the husband of Mary, whose son Nathan goes right through in the line to Mary herself. Truly, our Lord was the son of David. And Samuel is to anoint him. The Lord help us from drawing back from what is our right thing that is falling us to do. This matter, they said to Ezra, belongeth unto thee. Arise and do it, and we will be with thee. Just because it is and was in that case Ezra's lot to do it doesn't mean to say that everyone pulled back and said, well, you go and you'll get no support, no help whatsoever. If one amongst the people has something that there's their lot to do, may those who know that support them and help them and strengthen them. I want to look this evening then, the portion that is before us. Firstly, the choice of the next king of Israel. We begin with the literal account that is before us here of David being anointed. But then secondly, the anointing of David's greater son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, the provision of a pastor over a people. Firstly, we begin with this account. The choice was the Lord's. That is abundant right from the beginning. This was not man's choice. It was not Samuel's choice. It was the Lord's choice. The next king of Israel, the Lord chose him. It is the Lord that sets up kings. As in this case with Saul, he'd taken him down and he raised up another. The Lord is the orderer and the chooser. That is the first thing here. We are also told that the Lord narrowed down for Samuel that it was to be amongst Jesse's sons. He could have said to him, well, it is of the whole tribe of Judah, and we'll do it by lot. But he didn't. He brought it to one family, but he didn't tell him which son. We might think, why did the Lord do that? If he could tell him it was Jesse's family, why didn't he tell him exactly which one? Because that's how the Lord chose to do it. The Lord would have it that way. And we would like it in our lifetime, wouldn't we? If we had to make choices, anointings like this, that it was made that simply. That's the one. Just anoint him. But instead, Samuel had to go through this process. And very often we have to as well, if we're in his position. But the Lord had a criteria which he revealed when the sons of Jesse were brought before Samuel. And Samuel starts to see and he looks at the outward appearance and he looks at his stature and he says, surely, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord then sets forth his criteria. He said, no, it is don't look on his stature. It's not the outward appearance at all. Verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We had yesterday at the conference the definition of what is truth. Truth is reality, not as perceived by man, but as perceived by God. And God is saying here, the one that is selected is not in the eyes of man, but is in the eyes of God. It is how I see, not how you see, Samuel. And that is the criteria. The Lord is looking at the heart of the one who is to be the next king of Israel. So the criteria is set forth. Then in the process, each one of these sons comes before Samuel, and it seems he's exhausted them. There's none left, as he can see. There's none left. You might be in that position too. In the position, as it were, of anointing, appointing, and you've looked at this and this and this, you say there's none left. Samuel says, is there any more? Yes, there is. One overlooked. One not even brought in from the field. One still with the sheep. Bring him. And so in our text, he was sent for. He comes in. Now what is very interesting here, the Lord had said that Samuel was to not look on his outward appearance or his countenance or anything. But what is mentioned here, it doesn't say now David came in and he was ugly and ill-favoured and he was limping. But God looks at the heart. So you've got to remember, you look someone that's not very well favoured. No. He was ruddy, well complexioned as in the field, with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. The countenance was right outside, but God looked at the heart. And just notice how that is balanced here, so that we're not left with this idea that if the heart is right, the countenance outside won't be. With Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, but Joseph was well favoured, of goodly countenance. What the Lord means is don't be deceived by the outward. And just because the outward is right, that is not reflected inside. I hope each of us in that way, and I really include myself in that, are not content with deceiving men. God looks at the heart. We cannot deceive him. That is what a hypocrite is. He's just content with getting away with deceiving men. But one day, we must stand before God's judgment throne, and he sees the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That is a very searching word. I find it so very much. You think of all the thoughts that you have, all that goes on in your heart. That is what defines your person. Not what you look at in the mirror or what others see. It's what God sees. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when the Lord begins with a person, he'll begin with their heart, and they'll feel it, they'll know it. And they will seek his grace and seek his help to be cleansed and made right inwardly. When I was first exercised on the ministry, it greatly troubled me. How could I preach that men had such a wicked heart as mine?
How could I ever presume to think that, and to preach that? And it was a real snare for quite a while, till the Lord showed me that in James, as in water, faith answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. He fashioneth their hearts alike, and we are fallen alike. And may that be a help on the other side to any here who do feel that you've got such a wicked, evil heart, there can't be anyone like you, and there's no hope for you. You cannot be saved. God's word says, vile, evil, and wretched as you feel your heart to be, everyone in this chapel has got the same evil heart by nature. It's only by grace that they'll be humbled, be brought low, be brought submissive to the Lord. But by nature it will still be the same corrupt, fallen heart. We sung of it in our first hymn. So Samuel is called then to anoint him, and the criteria is given, and the anointing is made. And there in the midst of his brethren, he is anointed. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. How clear, how definite that was. Many shut doors, then an open door. Many no's, and then a yes. Do you ever thought that was the Lord's way? It is, isn't it? Many contrasts. But when the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And he anoints him in the midst of his brethren. They all had to see, they all had to know the youngest, and he is anointed. It was to be another 7 years or so before he actually became king. I could be wrong in that, but a number of years, and throughout that time, persecuted by King Saul. But before that happens, in this very chapter, there's another important providence that links, seems not linked together at first. Here is Saul rejected by God and an evil spirit from God. God is not the author of evil, but what we have here is when God takes away his grace, that man is left to himself. And that affliction that is brought upon him, God bringeth those afflictions, judicially so. But the Lord even overruled this for good. And what was said by his servants, that they should look out and seek a cunning player on the harp. Who moved them to think that that would be a good remedy for this evil spirit? Why a harp? Why this at this time? Why was it that one of the servants of the Lord knew all this about David? David that was with the sheep. No, it's a wonderful thing. It really struck me as we read this. In verse 18, when one of the servants said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. You think of all what that servant had noticed about David. He's cunning in playing. He's a mighty, valiant man. He's a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. All all of these things are noticed. And the Lord was using this way to bring David into the palace, to learn the ways of the kingdom, to be brought before the people, and in addition to this, he used Goliath, and David's going out against Goliath again to bring David before the people. Those are not chances. The anointing, Goliath, and the playing before Saul, it is all to one end that David is to be king. It wasn't just the choice, just the anointing. Other providences were going on which showed the Lord was in the matter. Do you remember that? Now, if David was to hear this, no doubt he would have been encouraged as well. Remember one job, and I don't say it in any praise of myself, I've had many things that make me totally ashamed of my witness at work. But when I was 23, 24, and was changing, I'd been 4 years in the job, and the chap I worked with, he knew I was looking for another design position, and he was friends with the manager, or the owner of the business that was only across the road. And one day I came into work, and we got nearly to 12 o'clock, nearly to our lunch hour, and he suddenly said, "Roland," he said, "I've forgotten." He said, "I've arranged a job interview with you across the road. In the interval," he said, "you've got to go over." He says, I've told them you don't swear, you don't curse, you don't have a television, you go to church. And he just reamed off all of these things. And I said, "You've noticed all of that about me?" And before I even met the manager or had a job interview or anything, I didn't do a job application. Nothing. All of that was already told. And then the next interview was just the same. I had 5 minutes' notice. Now, each time I took myself off into the toilets of the office, you might think it's a strange thing, but just poured my heart out into the Lord. "Lord, show me what to do and do guide me in that way." But you know, that job that was given me, I had that for 12 years, and that was the firm that I was in when I came over here. That was a firm I resigned from, and 3 days later, that same manager, he said, "You're going to a small cause of truth. You'll need work as well as your pastorate. We'll give you a contract for 3 years. You work for us from England to Australia." And that's how he came established here. And that's how I got that job. I didn't even put pen to paper. Not even. No CV. No letter. Nothing at all. All taken out of my hand. The Lord knows how to move and to do things. And yet 6 months before that, I tried to move myself, and the Lord had stopped that. Many things that were said yesterday by Lord's servant Mark Seymour, they really resounded to me in the workplace. But the Lord is a God that knows where his people are and knows how to bring them to the fore, appoint them, and to put them in positions that he'd have them to be in. And when the Lord does that, then it's encouraging not only to those who are appointing or looking on, but to that person himself. And I'm no doubt in all the trials that David had here before he actually became king, it was a great comfort for him to be able to look at these providences and to look at those things that had been done. Yes, he got very low. One day, once he said, "I one day shall perish at the hand of Saul." No, he didn't. But he had to walk that path, and the beginning here, the anointing, was very, very clear. He mentioned this morning the beautiful pattern in Matthew chapter 1, where we have 14 generations from, or it might have been, either here or West Rome, my mind has gone blank where it was. We have 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then from David to the carrying away into Babylon, and then from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ. So David being anointed is one of those waymark places, and so is the carrying away into Babylon. So this is not only appointing the next king of Israel, very important in the history of Israel and in the line to Christ. Now, a little sometimes we think those things that are before us are so important in history, walking through them. Well, the line to Christ, that is our second point, David's greatest son, the anointing of him. We've already said how the Gospels begin, how that line is traced through the kingship line, which is not a bloodline. Joseph supposed to be the father of our Lord, but it points so clearly to the promised seed, which should be the son of David. Our Lord was to be anointed. David here was, you might say, insignificant amongst his brethren, the least and despised. Our Lord, made like unto his brethren, but sin accepted, Jesus of Nazareth, of whom Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? How are we to know that God of heaven and earth has anointed Jesus of Nazareth to be the Saviour, the Redeemer, the one that we look to and trust for our soul's salvation? Right through the Old Testament were pointed those many signs and evidences that would come to pass when the seed of the woman came, when Christ came, when the Anointed One came. Some of the Lord's people, they knew those things. The woman at the well of Samaria did. She didn't know who Jesus was, but one thing she did know, that when Messiah came, he will tell us all things. And this man who was at the well had already told her that she'd had five husbands, and the one that she now had was not her husband. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. The Lord had touched on the very thing she knew about the Messiah. When she go, and the Lord told her, I that speak unto thee am he, told her directly. But when she goes to the Samaritan, she doesn't say, I found a man that told me he was the Messiah. She says, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Let them decide. This very thing that we've known about Christ, he's fulfilled it. He's shown it. The Lord said of the miracles that he performed, those things that he did in his Father's name, those things that he spake, the words that his Father gave him to speak, these are they which testify of me. The man that was born blind, he said, was it ever heard that one did make him to see that was born blind since the beginning of the world? Here is one that has done things that have never been done before. The miracles that he performed and that he did. And yet amazingly, there were those, when those miracles of giving of the bread, they were more happy to have the food, which no doubt the poor people were glad of, than to look past that and realize this is a miracle that anoints, that shows that this is the Christ. And the Lord said to them that followed him over the lake, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye ate of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the bread that perisheth, but for that which endureth unto eternal life. And then in John 6, he speaks of himself as that bread of life. God the Father bore witness throughout the life of our Lord Jesus Christ that he truly was his Son. He was truly anointed. His witness was in heaven. When he comes to Calvary, then are fulfilled all that is written in the Psalms, all that is written in the Scriptures. And the Lord rises again from the dead, and God giving assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And those 40 days between his arising from the dead, his ascension into heaven, seen of many witnesses, some of 500 brethren at once, to bear witness, as the Lord said to the disciples, "The Spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I." The anointing of our Lord is described very clearly throughout the Gospels. He is lifted up as he that hath a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the anointed of God. The temple, the second temple, is destroyed, was destroyed 70 years after our Lord. And what did the prophet say? The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Where is that latter house now? The glory of it was when our Lord Jesus Christ came in that house, drove out the buyers and the sellers. And he says, "Destroy this temple," meaning the temple of his body, "and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. There shall be," he says, "no sign given unto this generation, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The word of God bears testimony to the anointing of the Father, and that it is in him and him alone that there is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. If it was important that David, the choice of David was God, the choice of Emmanuel, the choice of Jesus, the choice of the Redeemer, the Saviour, David's greatest son, is of God, not of man. Him hath God exalted. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." When Philip preached to the eunuch began in that beautiful chapter, Isaiah 53, and he says, "Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And you know, Philip, he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In that dear man, that eunuch, the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed. He was given faith in Jesus Christ. He was given to see that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was given that willingness and desire to be baptized, and he was baptized on his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being the anointed of God, that he could trust his whole salvation upon him. His sins were put away by Christ. His blood had atoned for his sin, justified, made righteous in him, made acceptable in him. And how did the eunuch come to know of that anointing personally. It was through one of the Lord's servants. That's how. And so that's why we come to our third point, which is the provision of a pastor over a people. I know I stand here today as a pastor of Cranbrook, itinerantly minister visiting you today. You have many visiting ministers like this, but you do not have a pastor. And it is the Lord's appointed way that there are pastors over a flock, not just to preach. That is all I can do and any visiting minister can do. We can't pastor. We can't watch over. We can't care for. We can't shepherd. We can't look after you like a pastor can. You have good, godly, gracious deacons. I've no doubt they do much for you. And even if you had a pastor, they would still do so. But it is God's appointed way. Now, I don't know your exercise or where you are at all in this, but the Lord has laid this upon my heart, this word. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Just the same as with David, with Samuel being tasked in this, such a task would be for your deacons and the church here. As much as it was not Samuel's choice, nor really is it theirs either, it is God's choice. And it is God that will show who would be a pastor appointed by him over you. He would join those providences together that wouldn't be isolated but would work together of the Lord. The timing will always be of the Lord, and where that is so, whatever follows, we may expect the blessing will be of the Lord. With David, of course, many years of trial, but the Lord was with him and blessed his kingdom. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son, every pastor, it should be our delight to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift him up on the pole of the everlasting gospel. The Lord looks at the heart. But you know, when you have ministers preaching amongst you here, where they preach from the heart, you will get that message and you will get a little glimpse of what goes on in their hearts. And if that heart is of the Lord, it will touch your heart and touch your lives. And what's more, the ministry will be like that for the eunuch, that Christ will be exalted. He will be lifted up. He will be precious, a true minister of the gospel, and one that is a means of the Lord being anointed personally in your souls, that you might have no doubt whatsoever, but know that God has revealed to you his beloved Son and given you faith in him and trust in him and peace in him and the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. That will knit you to the pastor, and that will bind you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Remember, with the seven churches of Asia, the Lord was in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, those churches. But he had the angels, the pastors, in his hand. And as they preached, the word was, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I believe in the choice, the appointing of a pastor, you discern what the Spirit is speaking to you as a church and as a people as well. How vital for a spiritual ministry, a ministry of the Holy Ghost. The disciples had to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power on high. And no minister on his own will ever be any good for any people or any congregation without the power of the Holy Ghost, without truly being sent by God, anointed by God, and the word then blessed as being the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Well, the Lord be with you as a church and people, and individually may this be the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted, and the Lord provide for you and bless you individually and as a church and people. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, and he will also, God willing, address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Our closing hymn is 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But there's a voice of sovereign grace sounds from the sacred word. Ho, ye despairing sinners, come and trust upon the Lord. Hymn 764.
Thank you.
is to bless any that really feel from the heart that last verse of the hymn we've sung, the need of it. Bless the word today and forgive all the miss and wrong. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.